This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I spent $40,000 on shoes.
What's the matter, Morty?
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Fashion has changed.
Hi, I'm Lauren Garoni.
And I'm Chelsea Fairless.
And welcome back to the Every Outfit podcast. We are back doing our Sex and the City monthly rewatch episode. We've been off the entire summer because we've been covering And Just Like That. But here we are.
It feels good.
This was healing.
I agree. Frenemies is a great episode, and it also follows three of our favorite episodes, which is the two LA episodes and then Hot Child in the City,
which we have all done as rewatch episodes. And we really felt that it was important to do an all-time great Sex and the City episode as we return to these rewatch episodes. And we put our heads together. We asked you, the fuckettes. And even though this is one of the best Sex and the City episodes, I feel like it's a little more of a deeper cut.
I have to disagree about that because I think the only deep cut episodes, that's season one and season five. Everything else is fairly mainstream, no?
All right, fair enough. But I voted to do Frenemies because I felt like coming off of And Just Like That, and I promise to keep the And Just Like That references to a minimum.
Uh-huh. Right.
To do an episode that really focused on the girls' friendship and showed that even when they have disagreements, they are each other's loves of their lives. That they can disagree and come back together.
For sure. And we're coming off of a season of And Just Like That where there was a lot of tension between Carrie and Miranda. And there's tension between Miranda and Carrie in this episode as well.
We'll get into it. So where to begin?
Perhaps Carrie's opening voiceover. In a city where cynicism is as prevalent as pashmina. So good. It's the Carrie Bradshaw vernacular, and of course the pashmina reference places it in a very specific time period.
Yeah, you're like, this has to take place between 1998 and the year 2000.
I love a pashmina. Although I think they're kind of like politically incorrect now. There's something unethical about the way that the wool is sourced or something.
Of course. All right. I'm going to try to not do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Can't we just get away from the things that oppress us and move towards the light?
Okay, but I did notice that this was a more economic storytelling in like the first 3 minutes of this episode. We've got Carrie's voiceover and we immediately see where all of the different girls are.
Carrie is holed up in her apartment working. Samantha is getting fucked by a guy named Sebastian in his apartment on some sort of bed with wheels on it that also has pillar candles on it.
That's her. I believe that is her meatpacking district apartment. Yeah, her bed has wheels on it.
How am I only now realizing this? That's insane.
By the way, I have no idea why Samantha has chosen in her studio apartment, which we haven't gotten into. Samantha moved to a studio apartment. It's very chic. but there is no bedroom, and I want more for Samantha. But yes, she has chosen a bed that has wheels on it.
This to me is very aspirational sex. I don't know why. Maybe just because all parties are hot and the apartment looks nice.
Also, I feel like a bed moving is referenced several times throughout this episode. Samantha's literally doing it, and Charlotte invokes it later in the episode.
But you would think that the bed moving would actually not benefit the sex. You know what I mean? Wouldn't it be better to have this against a wall? Just saying.
I don't know what this says about my own love life, but I've never had bed moving sex, but mostly because I've just had very heavy beds.
Okay, so Trey and Charlotte are trying to fuck. It's depressing. He can't get it up.
Well, it also made me realize that we're coming off of them in couples therapy because they're using the, they don't exactly refer to it as schooner, but they are using the nautical metaphorical language to try to have sex.
Yeah, we're in a weird place where Charlotte knows that Trey isn't like fully impotent. She knows he masturbates. She did that weird thing with the stamps on his dick that one time when he was sleeping, but he still can't stick the landing.
Even though schooner sails are up, he can't get into the dock.
Bring her into the harbor.
And then we have Miranda, who is sitting in a new dress that she got from Barney's, eating out of plastic, waiting for a first date. And unfortunately, she's been stood up.
I couldn't find a fashion credit for this, but it does very much remind me of the DKNY dresses of the era, where it's kind of made to look like multiple layered pieces, but it is in fact one piece.
I can see that. So Miranda is waiting for Will O'Connor, a smart and cute urban planner that she met in line at Starbucks. I realize this might have been the specific episode that deluded me into thinking that if I moved to New York, I was just going to meet prospective dates in line at the bank or Starbucks or just walking the street.
Well, that's how the women of Sex and the City meet most of their boyfriends. Occasionally it's at a party or something, but for the most part, it's out in the wild.
So Miranda calls Carrie, who is, yes, she's been inside working, to lament about how she's been stood up by her date, which made me realize I've had many bad dates, many awkward interactions over the years. I've never been stood up. I have been left in the middle of a date, but I've never been stood up before.
Yeah, I think everyone's had a date cancel at the last minute also, but to be fully ghosted like this, no, I haven't experienced that either.
And as we learn, Miranda's date had a good reason to ghost her because he himself is a ghost.
He has died, and Miranda realizes this when she calls him and his mother picks up the phone. And then she somehow ends up agreeing to go to his wake.
Yes, in a conversation we don't see, in her panic, she agrees to go to this man who she's only met once to his wake.
And it immediately cuts to the diner. And she's like, they're dying on us.
Which, 35, a little young. He died of a heart attack at the gym.
A little young? No shit.
We should say that this episode was written by Jenny Bix, who has written some of our favorite episodes. She wrote the LA episodes. Season 3 and Jenny Bix, just perfection.
Yeah.
Great dialogue. When Miranda admits that she's going to this guy's wake, I think it's Charlotte or Samantha goes, you don't even know him. And Carrie goes, and it's safe to say she never will.
Samantha then pivots to her reservation at Samba.
Okay. Is it sushi Samba?
No, I think in the world of Sex and the City, there is Samba and then there is sushi Samba. I looked into it. I could not find an actual restaurant called Samba in New York.
I do wonder if, because Sex and the City is famous for creating fake restaurants, I mean, they feature real restaurants, but they also were great at coming up with fake restaurant names. If they came up with Samba as a great fake restaurant name and then Sushi Samba opened up.
Very possible. It's so sad that that Sushi Samba isn't in New York anymore. And I looked it up. I was like, are there still sushi Sambas? Yes, they're everywhere. There's one in Vegas. There's one in London. There's one in Dubai. There's one in Singapore. Like, they're literally everywhere but New York City.
Wow. That was a mistake on our part when we were in London for the live shows, not going to Sushi Samba.
Did you ever actually go to the Sushi Samba in New York?
I don't think so. It was on Park Avenue South?
No, it was like West Village.
Interesting.
It had that style of decor, that 90s modernist style of decor that I also associate with Rice to Riches.
The rice pudding establishment?
Yeah, where it's like a restaurant that was obviously built in the 90s, but it had this sort of 60s futuristic feel to it. I feel like it's only a matter of time before that comes back into fashion. It's been so out for so long that I feel like we could be on the verge of a renaissance.
Which is super sad if that interior design comes back, because if only the standard West Hollywood could have held on for a few more years.
I know. Another restaurant in that style is, what's it called in Paris that Carrie goes to with Petrovsky's ex-wife?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway.
And I wouldn't dare try to pronounce it. Anyway, we're pretty sure that this is a fake restaurant within the world of Sex and the City. I do find it funny. This is the first of many mentions from Samantha that she has a reservation for specifically four people. And so that then prompts Samantha to ask, Charlotte, do you think Trey would mind if he doesn't come to this dinner? Which felt very un-Samantha to invite a significant other. But I guess if it's a spouse, it's slightly different. We have a new sponsor today, Lola Blankets. Lola is the world's number one blanket, crafted with ultra-soft, luxury vegan faux fur and a signature four-way stretch that sets it apart. But I'm not doing this ad read alone today, because I am joined by someone who considers herself a blanket person, Chelsea Fairless. Chel, can you take me through what makes for a good blanket?
Okay, well, first of all, I am a faux fur blanket person. I know that people are all about like a wool throw or whatever, but I'm sorry, you can't compete with the comfort level that a faux fur blanket can give. I have tried a lot of faux fur blankets in my day, and this is the one. The thickness, Lauren, you would not believe. Or actually, you know, you have one.
I do indeed. What I was going to say is that what I love about Lola Blanket is that it comes in a range of sizes and colors. We each have the large blanket, but I've had my eye on the extra large size. I have mine in the sky blue color, yours in toasted almond. I've been enjoying mine while I cuddle on the couch watching Frasier after we put Morty to bed. But you've taught me that being a blanket person is so much more than cuddling on the couch. Being a blanket person is really a lifestyle.
I think I know what you're getting at. One of the weirder things about me is that I bring blankets to movie theaters. I always have my blanket in a tote bag. I know that this is insane, but I'm sorry, movie theaters are too cold. And also, it's one of those things where when I'm in the theater, people look at me like I'm a freak, but they're also jealous of me because I'm so cozy. I feel like this also happens when I'm on planes and people are jealous of my setup and my Lola blanket.
See, I was one of those judging people, but I feel more comfortable taking my Lola blanket out in the world knowing that it's machine washable, double hem for durability, and there's no pilling, no shedding, even after repeated washes. Chelsea, did you know that the company was founded by two brothers who are on a mission to bring softness to the world after being inspired by their own mother who found comfort in her blanket while living with breast cancer?
That is truly heartwarming. What a noble endeavor.
For a limited time, our listeners are getting a huge 35% off their entire order at lolablankets.com by using code OUTFIT at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code OUTFIT for 35% off. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets.
So Charlotte then brings up her sexual issues with Trey. It's really genius dialogue because she's saying we've been trying to
fuck,
but it's just not
big and hard.
Getting big and hard, close.
What is this, Dirty Mad Libs?
So great.
And Samantha posits that Trey has a Madonna whore complex, which Samantha, in this episode, she is giving better love and sex advice than the actual sex columnist at the table, Carrie Bradshaw.
True. Cut to Carrie's first gig at the Learning Annex.
I was shocked when Carrie was discussing the fact that she's been staying in working, but the work was this Learning Annex, which is it is a dating seminar. It's not even a dating seminar. It's a seminar about where to meet men specifically.
Right. And the Learning Annex is a thing in New York. There's always pamphlets for the Learning Annex everywhere, and they're usually advertising classes about how to get rich, things of that nature.
Yes. And even though Carrie has boasted about how much time she spent preparing for this, I don't know if that's true.
Hello. Hi. Gosh, I'm flattered that so many of you ladies showed up to hear me talk. Well, the fact is, I have had a lot of experience with men. Some of it good, some of it bad, and some of it very, very ugly. Wow. Well, there are 2 million single men in the city. I have dated about 1 million of them. And all these men are right outside your door. So the next time you step out in the morning with your shoes and your toad and your traveling cappuccino, take a look around, because I'm telling you, our little metropolis, it is stacked with men. You never know who you're going to run into. You can turn a corner and boom, bright light, State City.
This is my favorite Carrie, is when Carrie does her Carrie shtick and no one falls for it.
So immediately these women are like, okay, bitch, can you give us some actual advice? Where are we meeting men?
And she says, Samba? Which, according to Samantha, is a very difficult reservation to get.
Samba, sports bars.
Mickey Mantle specifically, to which one woman in the crowd goes, I've been there, all the men are married. Which is always my counter to the, like, well, just go to a sports bar when a sports game is going on to meet a guy. It's like, they're not interested in talking to you.
Or better yet, go somewhere where guys that don't like sports hang out. Because do you really want to be signing up for a lifetime of football games and baseball games and shit like that?
Just look at Kylie Jenner. She used the Samantha sound when she was going with Timothée Chalamet to the Knicks games. Her sex life was tied to the fact that if the Knicks don't win, she isn't getting laid. Do you want that for you? I don't think so. Okay. We also get a bit of lore from Carrie, which is that she once met a guy on the Hamptons jitney, but he was only on it because he couldn't drive because he was in some sort of parole program, which is a boyfriend of the week I really wish we could have seen.
True.
How exactly did Carrie think this was going to work? Because it seems like she just prepared that really pithy intro and then nothing else.
I love that for her.
So it starts out not great for Carrie and only gets worse because the crowd almost immediately turns on her. And they start asking, well, are you married? And when she says no, she's like, look, ladies, I actually don't know that much about men. I just write about them in my article. To which the audience correctly asks, then why did we pay to hear you speak?
And this leads us into the I couldn't help but wonder.
If you stay single in New York long enough, you're supposed to get wiser about dating. What men to pick, where to meet them. But what really made any of us experts? Wasn't our single status a neon sign that we couldn't get it right? What if all these years in New York have only made us older, more confused, or dead? Are we getting wiser or just older?
We're not just getting older. I think the more you date, the better you get at dating. And by better, I mean more discerning, which makes you more likely to be single. It's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, I was going to say the answer is both. You are getting wiser and older, but I don't think that they are equal.
What do you mean?
You are definitely getting older, but I don't think how old you're getting is proportional to how wise you're getting.
Right.
Which is to your point that, yes, you become more discerning and you can sort of more immediately sort of pick out like, well, this isn't going to work with this person. And you are correct. You end up more single.
Yep.
And then we have Carrie and Miranda at the wake. Carrie actually being a good friend, accompanying her friend to not even her date, a would-be date funeral.
She's bitching about her learning annex experience.
She's still Carrie. She does have to make it about herself.
Of course. I love the line where she's like, I swear to God, if they had been holding tomatoes instead of Louis Vuitton clutches, I'd be a dead woman. So good.
I also love the line, do you know that there are no available men out there? And Miranda goes, we're at my date's wake, so yes.
This scene is so genius because neither of these women know the deceased. And they're having a very inappropriate conversation given the circumstances. I've been so preoccupied with And Just Like That that I've forgotten that there is a time in Sex and the City where the humor in the show was a little bit more like Seinfeld or Difficult People, in the fact that they're presenting these very self-centered characters that are acting inappropriately in public.
And say things like, when Carrie sees that it's an open casket and looks at the corpse, she goes, he's cute. And Miranda goes, was.
Yeah, they phased out this kind of humor by the time the films came around.
Oh, of course.
So there's an after party for the wake, and they run into Carrie's ex. What is his name?
Jim. And he and Carrie dated 8 years ago, so 1992, which made me wonder, was this the era where Miranda and Carrie lived together in that apartment on Bank Street? This is also where we get the introduction of the phrase frenemy, which is the title of the episode, because Jim knew the deceased Will O'Connor. They went to college together and they were always competing. And wouldn't you know it, he even beat him at death. And so Carrie says, oh, he was your frenemy, which kind of shoehorning in the phrase, but sure, why not? I'll take it. So Miranda and Jim, there's obvious chemistry between them. When he goes to get Miranda a drink, Carrie confesses that this guy was a total asshole to Carrie. And what I love about this is it introduces something that we never got again, which is the idea that there is overlap between the men that these women date.
Yeah.
The idea that someone Carrie dated would be friends with someone that Miranda dated. Now, to be fair, Aiden and Steve become friends. But to my knowledge, at the end of this season, we see them having beers together. But prior to that, we never see them hanging out. It just sort of implied that somewhere in between episodes, Aiden and Steve met and became friendly.
Right. So despite Carrie's warning, Miranda is receptive to Jim asking her out. And she's like, here's my card. My email address is on the back and my cell. Imagine someone emailing you for a date.
It was the year 2000. Imagine getting asked out on a date via your AOL email address.
Wild.
Waiting for that dial-up to connect. Like, if you think waiting for a text message is bad from a potential date, imagine waiting for the AOL dial-up to connect you and checking your inbox.
Also, I don't think that a lot of young people realize that we didn't always have Gmail. Like, that was the thing that happened when I was in college.
It went from AOL, then I had a Hotmail.
We all had Hotmail.
Then I had a Gmail. Do you remember your AOL username?
No.
You don't?
I have no recollection at all.
Mine was RockAngel21.
Is that some Buffy the Vampire thing that I don't understand?
No, I just think for whatever reason I liked rock and I like the idea of angels and I was born on the 21st.
Well, there you go.
And I guess there were rock angels 1 through 20. They were already taken. Okay, in Miranda's defense, because it is kind of a dick move to go on a date or flirt with a guy that your friend is like, I dated this person and he is an asshole. But as Miranda says later in the episode, I panicked because my date died on me.
Yeah, Miranda has a justification for this scary behavior. Still, it feels wrong to me that she made this particular call.
Then we get a brief scene of Samantha getting railed, which is juxtaposed between Charlotte being sexually frustrated. And we get a second brunch scene. Say goodbye to sticky notes and calendar confusion with Skylight. The Skylight calendar is here to keep your family organized. This beautifully designed digital display syncs with your existing calendars, making it effortless to track events, appointments, and reminders in one easy-to-see place. The people at Skylight were kind enough to send me one of their calendars, and I am obsessed. And I know what you're thinking. Lauren, I have Google Calendar, or I have Apple Calendars, or I use Outlook. Why would I need Skylight? Well, do you have a husband who's constantly asking you what's going on for the day despite sharing a digital calendar together? It turns out having an easy-to-see place for all your appointments will save your marriage. And I have a lot going on right now. There's every outfit work, family obligations, my obligations, Paul's obligations, and of course the endless subs being scheduled for our never-ending home renovation. So having an all-in-one smart calendar that can seamlessly sync with Google Calendar, Apple Calendar, Outlook, and that can be color-coordinated keeps me from having a nervous breakdown. In addition to the calendar, you can keep track of chores, grocery lists, even meal plan. Your happiness is Skylight's happiness, so if in 120 days you are not 100% thrilled with your purchase, you can return it for a full refund, no questions asked. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to myskylight.com/outfit. Go to myskylight.com/outfit for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That is myskylight.com/outfit.
I love a two brunch scene episode. Doesn't happen as much as I would like.
So good.
So Samantha is giving the girls all of the juicy details about her sex with Sebastian.
I believe it's Miranda who asks, well, what does he do? And Samantha's like, I haven't the vaguest idea. And then this interaction happens.
How can you not know anything about him? You slept with him.
I fucked him. He made me come 6 times.
It's good enough for me.
Stop it. Why do you always have to talk about sex like that?
Because I can.
Okay, girl, simmer down. Mommy hasn't had her caffeine yet.
I can't take this anymore.
Oh, hey, frittatas.
Sex is something special that's supposed to happen between two people who love each other.
Or two people who love sex.
Oh, my God, you're such a...
A what? What am I, Charlotte?
When are you going to learn that you can't just sleep with everything that comes along?
Hey, Mrs. Softy, at least I'm getting laid. And you can forget Samba. That girl needs a stick out of her ass and a dick in her coochie pronto. Am I right?
So, who's right?
Samantha's obviously right. However, she should be more sensitive to Charlotte's situation. There's nothing wrong with the way that she is talking about her own sex life, but she should consider the fact that her friend is in a sexless marriage and does not want to be in one.
Yeah, I was going to say it's valid for someone to want to have hot, anonymous sex, but it's also valid that someone would want sex to be special. And in life, sometimes you want the former and other times you want the latter. Obviously, Charlotte is in a very sensitive place with her own marriage, but you cannot apply wanting to have great sex within your marriage to like meeting a person and wanting to have a strictly hot sexual dynamic with that person.
Wait, why not?
I just feel like Charlotte is applying a married dynamic to having basically just hooking up with someone. Like, they're not the same things.
Well, also Charlotte isn't willing to just say, hey, Samantha, hearing you talk about this guy that you're fucking, all the great sex that you're having makes me feel like shit about myself. But she doesn't want to say that, so she just kind of slut shames Samantha instead.
To be fair, Samantha is whorish behavior, and that is a compliment. But I feel like the far more appropriate criticism from Samantha would be the fact that Charlotte did marry this man without knowing him. And I suppose, yeah, at this point it's come out that she never fucked him before they got married.
Yeah, and who was telling her how fucked up that was? Samantha. Samantha tried to warn her well in advance of this situation transpiring.
But I think we can agree the Mrs. Softy comment was a bridge too far. And I also think Samantha is in the wrong for demanding that Carrie and Miranda immediately take her side. And when they don't, she takes away that Samba reservation for them as well.
It's just so funny. She needs the stick out of her ass and a dick in her coochie pronto. Like, that's incredible. That's why I love this woman, you know?
Yeah, we don't really say coochie anymore, do we?
I never said coochie, to be fair.
So then we get a Miranda and Carrie walk and talk. And this is beside the point, but my heart fluttered when I saw someone walk by with a pearl paint plastic bag.
Aw, diva down.
Yeah, what would have really put me over the edge is if I then saw someone with a Canal Plastics bag walk by as well.
Canal Plastics is still there.
Oh.
Look, we may have lost pearl paint, but we have Happier Grocery there now.
The Erewhon of Soho.
Exactly.
So Miranda and Carrie agree that this is a long time coming between Samantha and Charlotte. If you have two friends in your friend group that are like oil and vinegar, this is invariably going to happen at some point.
For sure.
And then this is when Miranda asked Carrie if she would mind if she went on a date with Jim. What do we think? What's the etiquette on this one?
I think it's fucked up of Miranda.
But it is 8 years ago. It's not like the Yankees pitcher asked Miranda out a year later.
Still, she said he was an asshole.
Fair enough. That's why you and I can be friends. There'll never be an overlap between people we've dated.
Nope.
Again, another brilliant bit of Jenny Bick's dialogue. You know what they say? One woman's asshole is another woman's a-hole.
Also, a great casual Miranda outfit in this scene. She's wearing some sort of like sage colored khakis with some sort of mesh, vaguely tribal looking tank top.
This is a very Lilith Fair adjacent Banana Republic era for Miranda.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I would describe it as more of like, yes, Lilith Fair, but also Tibetan Freedom Concert.
Yes.
But also a bit of Gautier as well.
Well, yeah, you need to have a little designer element. And there's something about the back half of season three, and specifically this episode, where Carrie is really leaning into more of her vintage collection in these episodes.
Yeah, I think she mostly wears vintage in this episode.
And of course, the Fendi baguette, which we see in the next scene, which is Charlotte and Carrie going lingerie shopping. Now, is this the Patricia Field store?
I have no idea where this is. I don't think so. No. I mean, it kind of looks like it could be the old one, but I feel like they just went to one of those sex shops. Although it's not one that I recognize. It's not where they got the rabbit. It's not like Fantasy World or something.
Yeah, it's something in between a Patricia Field store and, you're right, a pleasure world of some sort. Because it's lingerie, but it's definitely on the
It's definitely somewhere in the West Village. That I can guarantee.
Yes, it's not lingerie you would associate with Charlotte, because as she tells Carrie, she doesn't want to be herself. She wants to be someone else.
And Carrie seems genuinely grossed out by Charlotte's sexuality.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if she was grossed out by Charlotte's sexuality or the level of polyester in the lingerie or something. I love that Charlotte has a theme for this look. She calls it, I want to be a call girl meets Park Avenue.
Great.
Which, a sex worker on Park Avenue, wouldn't that just be La Perla?
Yeah, one would think.
Also, specifically, the styling of Carrie and Charlotte in this scene. Charlotte is wearing a crop top, which I don't think we've ever seen her in before. And then you have Carrie in the tube top and this vintage skirt with like a leopard applique. And of course, as I said, the Fendi baguette. We haven't really touched on the Are You a Charlotte podcast and specifically the Chloe Mall episode. But my favorite thing in the Are You a Charlotte podcast is when Kristen constantly blows up Sarah Jessica Parker's spot, because in the Chloe Mall episode, she makes reference to the fact that Sarah Jessica Parker had at the time hundreds of Manolo Blahnik shoes, which when Sarah Jessica Parker was on, she was like, you know, I got four and I could barely afford them. And Sarah Jessica Parker on her episode also talked about how, like, well, you know, we had to be so careful with what they lent us and we immediately had to give the stuff back, like the Fendi baguettes. And then during the Chloe Mall episode, Kristen Davis was like, oh yeah, Fendi would send Sarah Jessica like hundreds of baguette bags.
Yeah, that was a good episode. I liked that one.
To your point that Carrie is deeply uncomfortable in this scene, she does point out that this is much more of a Samantha job than a Carrie Bradshaw job. And Charlotte discusses the fact that she needs a break from her. Carrie points out that there were two people ruining the breakfast. And then this is where Charlotte goes, you know what? I have enough problems in my life right now. I really don't need any lectures. I feel like this is so poignant and true to friendships. When you are in a larger friend dynamic, invariably there are times where you don't fuck with one person in the friend group and need to cool off. And I think with what Samantha said to Charlotte, that's a, like, I don't know. If you said that to me, I'd be like, you know what? Friendship not over, but like, maybe we don't talk to each other for a week. Maybe there's just like a cooling off period.
Yeah, I understand why Charlotte would be hurt, of course.
And it also puts a lot of pressure on the other friends in the dynamic. Like, I do feel for Carrie of, like, when do I step in? When do I try to foster a connection or a reconciliation between these two people? And Carrie is correct. This is a Samantha job, because if you remember in season six, Carrie will go with Samantha to La Perla when she is having bedroom problems with Berger. In Charlotte's defense, if I was having bedroom problems with my waspy husband, I don't know if I would want Samantha's commentary about it.
Well, I think the bigger problem, and we've discussed this before, is that Trey refuses to sexually service his wife in any way. It's not just about his dick not getting hard. Like, he's not going down on her. He's not doing one thing.
He's not using his fingers.
He's, like, not into it.
You know what? I feel like Trey McDougal, if he saw Hitachi, he would be like, that's a great back massager. If you're dealing with hair issues like thinning or shedding but feel totally stuck on what to try next, I get it. There are so many products out there and it's hard to know which ones are actually going to do anything. And I'm here to tell you what you've heard about Nutrafol isn't just hype, it's physician formulated, clinically tested, and even recommended by dermatologists. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer review studies and NSF Contents Certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you've heard me discuss how I've used their women's formula to help with hair shedding, and I'm currently using their postpartum formula, which targets key root causes of postpartum thinning. Physical and emotional stress, I know I'm under those right now, hormonal changes, and nutrient depletion, so that with consistent daily use, which I am doing, I will start to see thicker, fuller hair and less overall shedding. And that's all I'm asking for. See thicker, stronger, fast-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code outfit. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code outfit. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code outfit.
So meanwhile, Samantha is shopping at some department store, shopping for scarves. A pashmina, perhaps.
I was going to say, would we consider this a pashmina?
Could be a pashmina. It's just kind of a genius scene where this other woman is pulling on the other side of the scarf. And that woman, of course, is Claire Ann.
Of course, if Samantha had a Wario, it would be a Southern woman.
This character is so good. She's like, you're spunky. I like spunky women. We're a dying breed.
Sorry, when she said spunky, I just immediately went to Funky Tastic Spunk.
I also, like, maybe I've just been watching too much Hunting Wives, but, like, I was just so happy to see a sassy Southern woman with a sense of humor.
Claire Ann let Samantha have the pashmina that they are both vying over if Samantha takes her to a dark bar for a stiff drink.
A hard drink in a dark bar, I believe.
There you go. And they are boozing it up based on a singular conversation. Samantha's like, you know what? I have this samba reservation later in the week and you seem pretty cool. But now I have a second person to go to samba with. But as I've previously stated, it's for a four top. Wherever will we find two more people? And just at that moment, they see two handsome guys in a booth.
Those are scary looking guys to me.
Not attractive.
Not attractive to me anyway. So they join their table. It's very fun and flirty until Claire Ann literally starts blowing one of them.
Yes. In Carrie's voiceover, she says, Samantha couldn't believe how much fun she was having. She had finally found a woman who was as open about her sexuality as she was. Except, look, Samantha will blow the Worldwide Express guy in the privacy of her own office, but blowing someone publicly in a restaurant, that is a bridge too far. And fair enough. I believe Claire Ann's behavior would put you on the sex offender registry list.
I mean, to be fair, Samantha's behavior in past episodes would also. Samantha would be down to blow him, like, in the back alley, in the service elevator, in the bathroom, maybe somewhere around the kitchen, potentially, but definitely not out in public in a restaurant.
I mean, I don't know how they do things where Claire Ann is from. But you take that to the bathroom.
I love when she's just like, Claire Ann, I'm going. I don't know why I did that in a Southern accent.
The detail of Claire Ann's muffled voice, as if she's talking to Samantha while actively blowing the guy, that sent me over the edge.
Samantha understandably decides to leave. Things have gotten really creepy. Claire Ann is blowing this guy, and the other guy is now trying to get her to blow him.
And look, Samantha has a line that she will not cross. She's not going to catch a public indecency charge.
So she leaves, and then we get the incredible line, and you can forget about Samba.
Samba better be the best restaurant in the world. What kind of cuisine do we think Samba is, by the way? If it is not sushi Samba.
Well, given the fact that it's called Samba, I would imagine Brazilian, but who knows? Some sort of Brazilian fusion.
Do you think all the waiters wear the Adidas Sambas?
I like to think it's a classier joint than that.
Then we have Carrie's voiceover. That night, Samantha learned she had a little Charlotte in her. Just like Charlotte, she had a line that could be crossed. Hers was just a little more to the left.
So Carrie and Miranda are on a weird date with Jim.
So somehow for Miranda to feel like it's kosher for her to date Jim, she thinks the best way to solve this awkwardness is for Carrie to come on the second date with her.
Super weird. Carrie is in her iconic Kenneth J. Lane butterfly necklace.
And to be fair, it is going well initially until Jim comments on the fact that he's surprised that Carrie has a successful column about sex because she didn't know much about it at the time that they were dating.
Yeah, he's a real asshole.
He blames this on just bad timing. He's not like, that's a bad joke. He's like, I just have bad timing. But I don't know if there's a good time to joke that your ex is bad in bed.
But what does he say that actually leads them to storm out? I know I just watched this, but I completely forget.
Well, Miranda tries to get things back on track and she says, oh, Carrie, did you ever see Jim in his band? Because they dated in 1992 and of course he had a band. And she said, oh, no, I never did. And Jim goes, oh, you know, because she was always shoe shopping. And Carrie goes, oh, I do love my shoes. And that's when Jim says, they come in handy when you're walking all over people. Is he trying to say that Carrie's a social climber?
No, I think he's just an asshole.
And then we get this hilarious exchange about everyone being an asshole.
Well, maybe that's because you're an asshole.
I'm an asshole. She's the asshole. She never called me once after we broke up.
That's because you're an asshole.
She's the asshole.
She's not an asshole.
Thank you, sweetie.
You know what? Never call me again.
Oh, you're breaking up with me?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, the fancy lawyer lady's breaking up with me like I give a shit.
Jim hadn't gotten older or wiser. Once dumped, he would still dump on everyone else.
You are such assholes!
I think the only asshole is Jim.
And to be fair, this is really over the top.
It's
even for Sex and the City.
It sort of dives into Friends territory. Like, the way that he says, oh, the fancy lawyer's breaking up with me reminds me of when Ben Stiller is the angry guy in that episode that he dates Jennifer Aniston's character.
Right, yeah.
And I don't want that for Miranda. Like, his energy reminds me of the lawyer that makes partner that ultimately gives Miranda chlamydia.
Yeah, for sure.
She needs a sweet guy. She needs Steve.
There's so many guys like that on Sex and the City, though. That's like who these girls date.
You know who Jim would be perfect for? He's a Samantha boyfriend.
Yeah, they're definitely more well-suited for each other.
I have to say that the post-bad date walk and talk between Miranda and Carrie, I found so heartwarming. It really gets to the heart of what Sex and the City was all about, which is it doesn't matter how many bad dates that these women can go on, they have each other. And I don't know if you noticed this, but Miranda and Carrie are holding hands.
Very cute.
And Carrie gets vindicated because she gets to say, I told you so.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Meanwhile, Charlotte has decided to reconnect with her sorority sisters. Of course, this bitch was in a sorority.
Although, according to the IMDb trivia, because Charlotte has gone to Smith, there's no Greek life in Smith. So there aren't actually any sororities at the Smith College. Although, if anyone was going to start a sorority at Smith, it would be Charlotte.
And I love Charlotte's look in this scene. She has the cardigan tied over her shoulders. Classic WASP shit.
And we've found three women who are WASPier than Charlotte.
This poor girl tries to have an honest moment with her friends about her marriage, and this is what happens.
My husband can't get it up.
Perhaps it would have been wiser for Charlotte to have had a Kappa Kappa cappuccino instead of that third martini.
I'm so frustrated.
Charlotte?
I mean, don't you ever just want to be really pounded hard, you know?
Like when the bed is moving all around and it's all sweaty and your head is knocking up against the headboard and you feel like it might just blow off. Damn it, I just really want to be fucked, you know, just really fucked.
The only heads blowing off were those of Kappa Kappa Grandma.
Charlotte, this is really inappropriate.
Yeah, we're eating.
What's wrong with you, Charlotte? You're such a...
What?
What am I, Sydney?
The way that Kristen Davis delivers what am I, for a second, I saw her as her character from Melrose Place.
It's so good. It's such a good scene.
And this is the brilliance of Sex and the City, right? These characters are not, while they are heightened, they're not caricatures yet because they exist in degrees and not in extremes. So while Charlotte is the Pollyanna of her friend group, you can have Charlotte in a different context, this being her sorority sisters, where she becomes the Samantha of this dynamic.
Also, this episode is a great example of how Sex and the City is able to identify a theme for the episode, in this case, frenemies, obviously. And we see that played out in all of these different ways. Charlotte has beef with her sorority sisters. She has beef with Samantha. Samantha has beef with Claire Ann. Carrie has beef with Miranda. It's just such a foolproof structure for the show.
Yeah, and I think this Charlotte storyline highlights something that we've noticed in these rewatches, which Charlotte has a very sizable sexual appetite compared to, certainly Carrie has a pretty diverse and fairly transgressive sex life. It's funny that she is painted as this character who is very buttoned up because really when you look at it, that's more Carrie, actually.
Yeah.
When you put the numbers up.
Well, also, once we get into And Just Like That territory, Charlotte is much more free about sex. She's having sex with an earshot of her own daughter, for God's sake.
I thought we weren't going to reference In Just Like That.
You're right. We're not. I'm sorry. That was bad of me. Okay, so now that Charlotte has found her inner Samantha, it's time to seduce her husband.
And it doesn't go great. At least initially.
I mean, what do you mean? She looks incredibly hot.
Well, yes. She is in a piece of lingerie that I seriously doubt was from that West Village sex shop that we saw her in previously.
No, she's in a long sort of burgundy colored burnout velvet negligee. If you lived through the 90s, I can't emphasize enough how important burnout velvet was. In a certain period of time, I always associate this style of clothing with the television show Veronica's Closet, but it was very much a thing in fashion. We had Blue Marine and Anna Molinari. We had Lolita Lempicka. We had Betsy Johnson, of course, which is how burnout velvet entered into my life.
Same as mine, yes.
You also see this in Practical Magic, of course.
Yeah, Charlotte is wearing something that I imagine Nicole Kidman would have worn to seduce Goran Visnjic in that film.
For sure.
Because it's a see-through dress with also a matching burnout velvet thong, which I find very impressive.
Yeah.
But do you know who's not impressed? Trey.
He's not initially impressed. He's like, Charlotte, what are you doing? And then she gives her whole TED talk, like, I'm not a Madonna, I'm not a whore, I'm your wife, and I'm sexual.
And do you know how I'm going to show you I'm sexual? I'm going to start masturbating in front of you.
I'm going to rub one out right now.
And, you know, that does something to his John Thomas.
And he successfully fucks his wife for a minute and a half.
Before the wind died down. Which she then calls Samantha and presents it. That she did have sex with her husband, which I guess is technically true.
Yeah.
His schooner made it into her Rebecca.
I think this shows progress, certainly. So Charlotte and Samantha mend fences.
Yes, as Carrie says in her voiceover, having spent time with their frenemies, Samantha and Charlotte forgot that they were enemies and went back to being friends. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't think they were enemies.
Well, I think when you have beef with a friend, they're your enemy for a set period of time.
Yeah, I don't know if I would ever get over the Mr. Softy moniker or Mrs. Softy moniker.
True.
And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this episode is I think it's a great Samantha as a friend episode. And certainly, and I know I just scolded you for referencing it just like that, but certainly one of the main things that was missing from that show was not only Samantha, but also the portrayal of Samantha as not a good friend. And Samantha is someone who, yes, gives harsh but truthful criticism to her friends, but she is someone that forgives and certainly forgets. And we know that she's forgiven and she's forgotten about this because she reminds Charlotte of the Samba reservation. And that's how we know everybody is good with each other.
Although we never see them go to Samba.
I guess this episode was too expensive. They were like, we cannot construct another fake restaurant.
This episode concludes with Carrie's final class at the Learning Annex. The crowd has dwindled down significantly. There's only a few women in the audience. And so she's basically like, come on, ladies. We're not going to meet men sitting in here. Let's go to some horrifying looking bar and just hit on random guys.
I assume it's Mickey Mantle's. We forgot to mention that Carrie is being paid $300.
Wasn't it $500?
It's $300 per seminar that she does. So I guess at this point she's made like $600.
Which was a lot of money then.
Okay, I had the same question. So I put it into the inflation calculator. It's about $500.
Huh.
So she netted about $1,000. Although we do learn that some people after the first seminar asked for refunds, which, fair enough. So Carrie takes $300 and takes the smattering of women who stay to a bar, which is probably the correct venue if you're teaching a seminar of where to meet men. And as she says, she makes three matches, which are really predicated on smoking. If this were a few years later, Carrie has no game at all.
So how does this episode end?
We get a Carrie voiceover. She says, that night I made three matches. I didn't look for myself. After all, I try not to date while at work. So I guess the old and wise adage is true. Those who can't do, teach. Those who can't teach, do.
And there you have it. How many Manolos are we giving this episode?
I'm going to say 9.
I was going to give it 8.
All right. Shall we get into our exit survey?
Who is the MVP?
Samantha.
Yeah, I think so too.
Look, Samantha came in with that Samba reservation.
Although, Claire Ann.
Claire Ann, the woman who is probably parallel to this episode, sitting in jail for public indecency.
Okay, but I vibe with her. It's nice to have the Southern woman on the show. She's one of the all-time great side characters.
She came, she drank, she blew her way through the city.
Who are you voting off the island of Manhattan?
Claire Ann. No.
You're crazy. Charlotte's cunty sorority sisters. That's my nightmare friend group.
That's your nightmare blunt rotation?
Yeah.
I think Trey. Even though he does accept his wife sexually, I guess, we don't actually see him do that on screen. His attitude towards us when she comes out in the lingerie is never sat right with me.
Who is the best dressed?
For me, it's a deep cut, and it's a tie between Charlotte and Carrie in the West Village sex shop. They're both in casual looks we've kind of never seen them in before. Charlotte's in a crop top and I think some like plaid or tartan capris. And just Carrie and vintage. So good. What about you?
Well, Charlotte had a couple of really great moments. The negligee is amazing. The sorority sisters look is great. It's quite heightened costuming. But I have to give props to Miranda. We did not talk about her funeral outfit, which was very Diane Keaton. Remember the size of that belt that she wore?
Giant belt.
Giant belt. And we got a couple of really good casual looks from her in this episode as well. So I'm going to say Miranda.
All right. So who are you in this episode? Claire Ann?
I wish. I'm Carrie, I think.
Interesting. And I got to say that I'm Miranda. If anyone out of the two of us would have a prospective date die on her, it would be me. I would somehow find myself invited to the wake that I can't say no to. And out of desperation, I would probably go on a date with a guy that my friend dated who said he was an asshole. It's not a good look for me, I will admit.
No. Okay, best line.
Oh, we're putting this back in.
Well, we took it out for in just like that, but I'm going with the obvious, you can forget Samba. You can copy mine. It's fine.
No. I'll go with Carrie's line during the learning annex, her pithy intro, where there are 2 million men in Manhattan and I've dated a million of them. It's a good line. Funny joke.
What is your biggest trigger?
Okay, so my biggest trigger is a line of dialogue in this episode, which is when Samantha says a dick in her coochie. It just has never sat right with me.
It just gives you the ick.
There's something about coochie that just is upsetting to me.
My biggest trigger is Trey refusing to sexually service Charlotte in any other way.
He just can't do it. He's that repressed.
What is your hottest take?
My hottest take is that I think Samantha went too far. Honestly, I don't think a somber reservation would save the friendship with Samantha. If I were Charlotte, I think I would need a little more time to cool off.
This isn't the hottest of takes, but I do think that Miranda did carry dirty by dating Jim. I think that is a betrayal. I don't think that the amount of time is relevant. I think that Miranda should take her word for it. And it would be one thing if they had come into each other's lives in some other way and had this crazy connection, but that wasn't the case. They had a 2-second interaction and Miranda decided to betray her best friend.
I think the first date is fine. I think it's absolutely crazy that in order to make this okay, she invites Carrie on basically her second date, right? She's like, well, now I actually do like this guy and would want to date him. So in order to make myself feel better, I'm going to force Carrie to go on a date with this guy.
Yeah, it's all fucked up.
But it's a great episode.
Great episode. Props to Jenny Bix. No one does it like her.
I miss her. Maybe she knew something.
Anyway, this has been fun. This has been healing.
Until next month.
Until next month.
All right, bye, guys. We'll be back next week.
Bye.